Good morning. Today is Wednesday, September the 23rd. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County 5th District Supervisor, Mr. Steve Madrone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, sir, and to all your listening audience in the greater Redwood region.
You're not running for office this time. Relax. It's okay. Oh. All right. Well, let's find out why we say something here, Winston.
Ooh, here's an interesting one. Why is a terrier called that?
Terrier. Dog, I'm presuming. Terrier.
I don't know. I've heard some politicians call terriers before, but
yeah, I've heard pit bulls and bulldogs and
right.
Yeah. Great Danes every once in a while, but normally there's a king associated with that one.
Terrier, there you go.
Terrier.
Hmm.
One that tears, maybe like a rat dog kind of thing, a protective dog.
Well, and Terra is Earth, so I don't know.
We're digging, maybe a digging dog then.
Yeah, right. Try and find the root word.
All right. Well, that's about as much time as we're going to spend on this one, Winston. What do you
think? And the audience polls, they're giving you half credit. The Latin word for Earth is indeed Terra. Therefore, the home of a fox or badger, being a hole in the earth, is a terrier. And because of this, a dog trained to chase a fox or badger from its terrier is called that.
There we go, root words.
Yeah, that's probably closer to 80% for you.
I might have flunked Latin, but I learned some of the root words.
So. Yeah, there you go. Oh, boy. So it's interesting for me to consider the impacts of the fire personally and in the business. Guys looking at it too. What has been the impact from a governmental perspective? Because I don't think many of us ever have that opportunity to kind of weigh in or to think about it from a position of knowledge. But what the impact the fires have done to the governmental structure of Humboldt County?
Well, as you can imagine, the county was already pretty darn busy with COVID and working with businesses to try and, you know, meet guidelines and try and give everybody as much opportunity for business as possible, and then along come the fires. So we actually have two emergency operation centers going now, one for fire, one for COVID. Because there was already the center set up for COVID, I will say that it was really amazing how rapid the county structure could set up for the fires, and I really credit Sheriff Hansel, Ryan Derby, the director of the EOC, and all of the people working there for really rapid response in that way. They've been all over the August complex, the western zone of that down in southeast Humboldt County. So I don't know, I'm pretty darn impressed. And then there's fires out east of Hoopa. So we got our hands full, no doubt about it.
Right. With the establishment of an emergency operations center, is there much involvement at the supervisorial level, or do you just kind of you're in the information loop and you sit back and see if there's anything that you might be able to assist with on a personal level or on a networking basis out of the marketplace?
Well, that latter part is certainly true. I know that Supervisor Fennell has been highly engaged down in the South County, and I've been very engaged in the Eastern County. So, you know, when we've got something going on in our districts, yes, we do get brought into the loop, and especially when there's evacuation orders and evacuation centers set up, like Supervisor Bone is helping with at the fairgrounds in Ferndale. So lots to do, and, you know, mainly what I try to do is stay out of the way, but help with communication if possible, and resources, that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, everything and everything above, you know, whatever you can do. So
the fact that the reservation is involved, does that add additional resources, or does that complicate things because it's just different than what, let's say, Southern Humboldt is dealing with?
Yeah, well, it's certainly different. You know, with Hoopa having the whole square, it creates a very distinguishable area of jurisdiction. But Hoopa, EOC, as well as the county, the sheriff, Ryan Derby, have been in direct communication with each other. They've finalized their evacuation planning, who will be in charge and how things are going to work, where people will be evacuated to, and all that. But the good news in that case with Eastern Humboldt is the fire is still in Trinity County, and they were able to burn out the area in front of it, up Upper Mill Creek in the eastern area above the square, and the fire changed direction and is languishing up on the Waterman Ridge up above in areas that have burned many, many times over the last 10 years. So that was good that it was turned away from the valley. But, you know, it's this rain coming in tonight, tomorrow should help a bit. Hopefully no dry lightning of any kind. But we're not out of the woods yet. As we know, it's still mid-September, and fire season can go till November or
Yeah, we got eight weeks still to make it through.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Waterman's Ridge, that goes back for me being a 10-year-old going up into the Forest Service area, getting wood and things like that at the at the cabin, which is in Trinity County also. The fact that it's in national forest lands also, or national, I guess, federally controlled lands, has that made it different, more challenging also? You start thinking about the various layers that are involved, and pretty soon you've got a five-layer cake going.
Yeah, you've got the Forest Service, you've got Cal Fire, you've got volunteer fire departments. As I understand it, down in southern Humboldt, there was a tremendous effort on the part of volunteer fire departments and residents in the Alder Point area and others that came to the aid and really kept the fire from crossing the Eel River. Many had thought it had crossed, but it was a false report. But it was darn close to doing that, and people just stepped up and really aided in that, and then Cal Fire came in with resources, and they have kept it on the east side of the Eel River down in that southeast part of the county. So everything matters, and yeah, it gets tricky coordinating all that, but, tremendous work on the part of all these folks.
Yeah, yeah, when you see communities pool together, that's always really exciting and humbling at the same time.
Yes, it is. It is. You know, and then there's the issues of, forest management. People, when these things happen, everybody starts talking about forest management once again and what we can do about that. And, when you think about fire starts, there's really three primary sources. And so often the fires do start up on Forest Service land because it's right. The higher ground, the wilderness areas, a lot of those lands that weren't picked up by homestead.
And we've got we've got a cliffhanger now. What were the other two reasons? Well, you can figure one of them out. The other one we'll share with you when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Before the break, we were talking about some of the triggering events, if you will, for fires.
Yeah.
Obviously, lightning strikes, yeah.
And so far, Superman.
Yeah.
We don't have a Superman shield yet, so.
Right, right. lazy people in the woods. I mean, that could be everything from a chainsaw spark, somebody dragging a trailer chain, campfire that isn't put out 100%. An illegal grow that has a short that catches fire. I mean, human caused. So we got two of the three taken care of here.
And then the third one is power lines going down from windstorms. And PG&E certainly has a lot of work to do to harden the system. So.
They certainly are doing an awful lot of work, though.
Well, they are. And that recent islanding experiment worked out pretty well. Eastern Humboldt lost power, but the bulk of the coast did not. So improvements are being made.
With the activities, Steve, that have been done now in association with the dealing with the fire and the impacts of that, and then the virus and the impacts of that, are we ready for the next earthquake?
Well, yeah. I mean, anytime you initiate emergency operations, it gives you more training, and you see where the weaknesses are and try to make those improved and move forward. So I would say yes, we're in better shape in that way. Let's hope the earthquake doesn't happen right now. We already got a lot going on, so don't jinx it, Brian. Come on now.
I wonder how much is issue specific and how much of the structure is procedural. You know, if it's a flood, okay, we're doing, the approach is pretty similar. If it's fire, the approach is pretty similar. The process is the same. Earthquakes, windstorms, locusts, whatever it happens to be, that the structure is in place, and then we just kind of fine-tune it. Is that your impression of this also?
Well, I think that's generally true, but obviously each incident is going to have its own particulars, and an earthquake in particular might take out a whole lot of bridges, for instance, and suddenly transportation is in a major way affected, or floods, right? Those are two of the things that could take out a lot of the transportation system, whereas fire isn't going to do that so much, although it clearly closes highways at times and things like that, but then the highways reopen, you know, after the fire moves through. So, there are those nuances and differences. The tsunami, is going to affect harbors and coastal zones, not so much inland, obviously, right? So, yeah, I think the structural stuff is very similar, but the effects of the event and how we respond to that are going to be very particular.
So there are lessons that are being learned. One of the areas I've not asked anybody about is whether or not communications from Humboldt County to outside entities, whether it's a county, state, federal, regional, whatever it might happen to be, regulatory, non-regulatory,
right,
have those been improved as a byproduct of the last 4 to 6 months?
I would say absolutely. I mean, with COVID, there is a tremendous amount of, intra-county collaboration and, you know, with testing and the potential. If you were being overwhelmed in your hospitals, some of the counties have been able to shift resources from an adjacent county to place people in isolation or different things. So all that's happening. And I can say under the fire stuff as well, the August complex is burning in, I think, 6 or 7 counties, right? So this fire is the biggest in California history, 800,000 square miles. So it's, you know, it's, no, 800,000 acres, excuse me. But at any rate, it is a massive fire covering lots of different jurisdictions, and that has required a tremendous amount of communication and collaboration to be able to fight that.
Yeah, it's kind of sad that we don't have better understanding of American geography, but I had heard a report early last week that said the amount of acres burned in the state of Oregon already exceeds the size of the state of Rhode Island.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
And it's like, nobody knows what Rhode Island is, so it doesn't make any difference, you know, for a lot of us.
That little dot on the map back there. In the
East. Exactly. It's next door to Connecticut, right? Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, but absolutely.
The scope of some of this stuff, I think, is going to be something that we realize years down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Oregon has never burned quite like this ever before either, so... definitely climate driven, but also, forestry driven in terms of the types of forest habitat out there and what burns hot and what doesn't. Plantations burn really hot. Even aged forests burn really hot.
Right.
You know, they carry the fire.
I have a question for you, Steve, because you kind of play in this arena. Last week, Jana Valakovic was on, and she had put forth a plan, or was aware of a plan a few years ago that basically got shot down at the state level because it was challenging the system. And it was involving things around forest practices, mixed use, allowing certain harvest practices again, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Is this a time, well, not right now, but let's say next year, is this the time to revisit a lot of the state stuff, and whether it's fish and wildlife, or it's the Department of Forestry, or the interaction with the feds, whatever it might happen to be, a chance to really step back a little bit, because it'll be a non-election year, and to look at things and really make that determination, how do we better do what it is that we do?
Yeah. No, I think it is an opportunity for that. You know, everybody's asking those questions. It's hard to... often in the conversation when you're you know, working with folks, because there is so much micro detail to forestry management, and it is not so simple as to say, well, we just need to get back out there and log it all. You know, that's not the answer.
Right.
But there is a lot of work to do, and our forests have become so choked with fuels and brush and small trees that it is a tinderbox. And so does that mean we go in and log the whole area off, or do we use logging in a very specific way to reduce the fuel loads by going in and thinning from below to remove all those fuel hazards help the remaining trees become larger, bigger, and better saw timber for the day that we do harvest?
That's right along the same lines that she was echoing also.
KINS,
News and Information Time, it's 8:30. We'll be back with more Talk About Trees in just a moment.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor from the 5th District, Steve Madrone. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Steve, before the break, we were talking about some of the different forest practices. And, you know, you've got folks with real-life experience. You've got people with laboratory experience. You've got folks from different points of view, different perspectives, certainly different political affiliations. It sounds to me like if we were trying to put together a comprehensive, or even not even a comprehensive, that's a little too grandiose, a working plan, that it would have to be regionalized, because what applies in Southern California makes no sense up here and vice versa.
Absolutely.
But there's the history of the Klamath River Dam scenario where you had a bunch of different people and everybody had some kind of a buy-in, some kind of a vested perspective, and they were able to get it all done except for the final step.
Yeah.
Is that a model that could be used for forest practices in, let's call it, the green part of California rather than the Central Valley or the Central Coast or down south where we've got, you know, Joshua in some of those trees that are totally different types of species and different types of scenarios?
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. You know, on the Klamath, let's just hope that Mr. Buffett does the right thing here, because it's actually the best thing to remove the dams for his ratepayers as well. So it makes economic sense as well as environmental. But at any rate, as regards to fires, you know, we're lucky here in Humboldt. We've got an incredible fire safe council at the county level that is coordinated by Sabelle Emmett at the county. And it is we have a fire safe plan. We have a countywide plan that has tremendous details about all of these things we're talking about and more. And it's considered one of the best plans in the state of California. So we're lucky in that way that we have a tremendous amount of people involved in these things, all the volunteer fire departments, the nonprofits like the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council and others in the Mattole that are doing tremendous work out there. In fact, just 2 weeks ago, I was down in the Mattole working with a very large private landowner out there in the area above Honeydew on a project that's called Redwoods to the Sea, where we have old-growth redwoods on the Eel River, we have the King Range Conservation Area on the coast, and in between that is large ranches, and this one landowner in particular, Bob Stansbury and his family, lived there nearly 80, 90 years. And we're working with them and the Save the Redwoods League and CAL FIRE to do over $1 million worth of fuel reduction work to put in these massive fuel breaks along the ridgelines to prevent fires from moving all the way across that whole landscape. So it's not all just up on the Forest Service land or timber company land. In many cases, there's a lot of work going on with these non-industrial timber ranch landowners and others. And in that case, we were removing trees along these ridges that have encroached on the prairies. So we're giving the landowner improved grazing habitat. And the byproduct of that is all these trees that we remove, and then we fly them by helicopter down into the river to place them there for fish habitat, for pools and cover and all that. So there's some really innovative and wonderful things going out there in the fire management landscape that are very, very large scale. You know, but when you think about the three primary reasons a fire starts, power lines going down, lightning strikes, and roadside starts from chains dragging, as you mentioned, as well as cigarette butts, et cetera, it's the roadside vegetation that we have the best chance to actually get on it, make it happen, hire crews, get the funds to really, you know, get our roadside vegetation under control, because it is out of control.
And well, Caltrans was doing that, weren't they, for the highways?
They've been doing a lot, but the county's been strapped for money for its personnel. We have very few crews,
right.
Very few mowers, and the mowers go out without any crew. So within a few minutes, the mower hits a hard object, a rock, a tire, a metal post, and boom, the mower's down for a month, you know, at great expense. So if we can get the resources to get crews back on board in public works, get out there and work with the adjacent landowners and really clean up these roadsides so that we have good emergency evac routes and we don't get all the fire starts along those roads. And that work is already permitted. It's just maintenance. We don't need to do all the CEQA and this and that and everything else. So, you know, in this fire landscape, you do what you can. You find out where the low-hanging fruit is, and then you start doing those projects and make headway.
The Fire Safe Council that the county has got, is that something that the state can adopt, should adopt, will adopt, is talking about adopting, so that it's not another one of those county by county by county by county, but there really is a regional effort, like might even embrace an ecosystem or a watershed, things that make sense?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the primary authors of our local Fire Safe Plan was Tracy Cattleman, and she actually, after helping Sabella and the county and all of our fire safe organizations in the county complete our local plan, then she was hired at the state level for the fire safe organization there and the state fire council, and she's been helping to get this stuff instilled statewide. So yes, comprehensive.
Novel concept, even though it is such a very big word for me on a Wednesday morning. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Steve Madrone. Steve, considering some of the experiences we've had during this year on so many different fronts, is there any one area that you now see that might need to be addressed or looked at or reviewed, double-checked, so that whatever it is, we might be a little bit more prepared when another issue arises?
Well, yeah, you know, we need to look at how much money we spend on dealing with disasters like fire after the fact, right? And like anything in life, prevention is more effective and almost always more cost-effective to do than reaction, right? So what we're doing right now is we're reacting to a bad situation with fuel buildup. And so then we spend, you know, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, billions of dollars, trying to deal with putting the fires out after the fact, after people's homes have burned, people have died, you know, tremendous disruption to facilities, including utility grids and everything else. So if we look at that and we say, you know, we maybe ought to take all of those monies and move as many of them up front as possible, hiring people to do good work, creating jobs, and reducing fuel loads and fire, and which, you know, helps the environment, helps communities, and prevents that loss. So that's my big mantra, is let's take that effort, move those funds up front, and be more effective at what we're doing.
Could the same be true with the virus?
Well, it is true. You know, there was an awful lot of reports that were put out, you know, several years ago about all this, including from the Gates Foundation and others who are working tirelessly to support, you know, coming up with a vaccine and other kinds of things. But, yeah, you know, this stuff has been out there for a long time about possible pandemics and what to do about it. And here we are, one of the, you know, biggest, greatest countries on the earth. And we were completely ill-prepared with our personal protective equipment, the ventilators, the hospital situations, everything. And it's amazing to me that we're 5 months into it and we still have those issues. I mean, what's that about, right? So, no, we got a long way to go to take what we know and then actually enact that and implement it in a timely way.
And, of course, it's not just America. It's a lot of parts of the world, too, having to deal with some of these various challenges. So it makes it interesting, I suspect, just because it's unique, but it certainly would be nice if there was systems or protocols that at least were reference points.
You know, this
is what we had expected to be able to do. Let's pick and choose and apply as much as we can, as quick as we can, to address the situation either in advance or in the midst of whatever the scenario is playing out.
Absolutely. You know, and there's a lot of folks in Humboldt that are working on prescribed burn projects, you know, to try and get out in front, bring fire back, where it can be safely applied on the landscape to control a lot of these fuels. The hard part is, unlike the Native Americans who lived here for thousands of years and pretty much had their main villages right along the rivers where, you know, fires don't burn down to the river very often. They tend to burn uphill. So they had safe village areas, and they didn't create permanent villages up in the hills so much. They had summer camps to go collect grasses, forbs, and wildlife. But, you know, we've got people living all over in the hills now, all over in the forests and the resource areas, and that certainly makes it more complicated to let the fires do what they do. You know, they're one of the tools out there to help reduce fuels and it's part of the natural landscape, creating that mosaic. But we can't just do that so easily. But where we can, in Southern Humboldt, Yana and her team at UC Extension, along with the Mid-Klamath Watershed Council, the Hay Fork Watershed Center, and many others, are heavily engaged in doing as much prescribed fire as possible. And you don't hear about that a lot because mostly they go pretty well.
And you can't tell where the smoke is now anyway, where it's coming from.
Yeah, right.
All righty, Steve. Hey, thanks for the time and the insights. A pretty positive show this morning. Appreciate it.
You bet. You take care. Stay safe.
All righty. See everybody tomorrow.